If you would you just share in prayer with me right now? Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for all these individuals that sit in these pews. I believe, God, that you have spoken to us about what you do in life. The song that said, "Do you know how it feels?" is not just about necessarily the feelings, but about what we know that has taken place inside of us. About the fact that our lives have been adjusted, have been changed, have been made new, and that we have become children of God. God, that's an amazing work that you do. An amazing work you do. There are people that sit here in this room that could get up and tell us this morning about the wonders of what you have done in their lives. About how you met them where they were, and how you changed them, and how you gave them hope and life and something to look forward to. And God, today we want to celebrate you. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for being amazing and loving and kind and wonderful. Thank you for reaching into our lives. And thank you for being willing to reach into the lives of others. Amen. As we were singing the song, I began to think about the wonders of knowing how it feels. Again, I understand we don't live on feelings alone. You understand that. The Bible lets us know that we live on faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But folks, with the faith, there comes the feelings. You never get those backwards, by the way. Never have feelings that produces faith, but you can have faith that produces feelings. And so, in your life, when you came to Christ, I wonder how many of you remember the feelings there were that took place. Now, everybody's different, so everybody wasn't the jumping up and down kind of a person, you know. In our home congregation, Ohio, we had Victor Gooding. Victor Gooding sat on the front pew. Victor was a little skinny guy. And he always wore a suit, he always wore a tie, and he usually would have like red socks on. I mean, you almost count on it. Any Sunday morning, it doesn't matter what his suit looked like, he had red socks on. And Victor, he really was a wonderful guy, but he was one of those naive kind of guys. I don't know if I should tell you this, but I'm going to, okay? You know, 3 weeks, what are you going to do to me? Victor, a lady was started attending the church, and Victor and his wife and his family lived next door to him, and she was expecting her first child. Her husband worked third shift. And so Victor, being the kind of neighbor he was and the Christian he was, he said, "If you have a problem, call me up." And one night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, she called him and she said, "Victor, my water broke." Victor got up and got his plumbing tools and went over. That was Victor. I mean, that was Victor. And Victor, man, but let me tell you, when he got up to testify, there was something about the testimony. He didn't always say the right words or the clearest words. But the feelings that came out in the words were amazing. We had Luwanda. Luwanda, she had long flowing red hair. She had redder hair than yours, Michaela, and probably about as long. And when she got up to testify, I don't know if I can explain what it was like. She wanted to preach every time she testified. You know that.
Yeah, there's people, you know, that are like that. They want to preach. When they say, I got a testimony, what they mean is I've got a sermon. You know, and Luana was like that. And my, but when she stood up, you knew that the Spirit of God would use her. And the feelings that were given through the Spirit of God were amazing. Old Victor Good, not Victor Gooding, old Archie Stanley, the little short round guy. Archie came out of, I think he came out of Eastern Kentucky, if I remember right. And he'd been kind of a rounder in his life. Not only was he round physically, but he'd been a rounder. And those of you that don't know what that means, look it up in a dictionary, okay? And Archie, me and Alan Channel and Archie were on a rooftop, on the Parsons rooftop in March in Ohio, putting, repairing the roof. And Archie and my pants were freezing on the roof. That's how cold it was. And I'll never forget, Archie was standing there. And Alan Channel was going to pretend like he'd hit his toe with a hammer. And as he came down with the hammer, Archie moved his foot and he hit Archie's toe. And that little short, round, fat boy, he was bouncing all over that roof holding his foot in his hand. And he was saying to Alan, Alan, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd kill you. And in the worship services, old Archie would stand up. Now, this might not be your cup of tea. He'd go over to the wall and he'd raise his hands and he would shout, oh, glory. The realization of what God does in your life produces something that can be absolutely amazing for anybody who grasps that. See, salvation isn't just a dry, sterile thing, but it's a glorious thing. It's an amazing, it's a divine action of God. That's why in the Church of God, we've told people ever since we began proclaiming what we declare is the message of the Church of God, that you can't join the church. Because it's only a divine action of God. See, you can't be voted into the church because God doesn't ask anybody else's opinion about it. See, this is something that comes from Him. And so when you read in the scriptures that except a man be born again, Jesus is declaring that this is a divine action that He will do that is appropriated by the faith of the individual. And the individual by faith grasps what God has for him and holds on to it with all that they are, and they believe it. They believe that God is true and they believe that God will do that. And through faith in their lives, they receive the wonderful work of God. And by the way, that wonderful work of God produces a life that is changed. And so when we sing a song like, do you know how it feels? There's somehow that connects with everybody. Even though we all have different kinds of feelings and we all react differently in our own way. But folks, there's something, there's a commonality to it that says, yeah, I know. I know. Let me give you the scripture that I'd like to give you in 1 John. And the fourth, let's see. Here we go. The fifth chapter, starting with the 10th verse. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Did you catch all of that? This is the record. This is the record. God has given unto us eternal life through his Son. Friend, know this today. There is no other place you can go other than the Son of God to have eternal life. You know, we work real hard at trying to help people learn. And so we have Sunday school classes, and we have CL for CL, you know, Christian learning for Christian living. And we do different things. Some churches have catechism. Some groups have some different membership classes and all of those kinds of things. And they're all designed for one thing, to help people to understand it, to know that they can be a man or woman of God. But understand this very clearly though. Except it come from God and his Son, you do not have eternal life. You can go through the classes. You can get the diplomas. You can sit in the Sunday school classes for 10 years, 20 years. You remember the old Sunday school class record things that you, the little badges that you wore? You, in the first year that you didn't miss anything, you had the badge. And then the next year, you had a little bar. And the next year, a little bar. And the next year, a little bar. And the, and some of the folks, man, they had bars that went down for years, representing years where they hadn't missed church or Sunday school. But do you know that it didn't matter how long the ladder, if Jesus hadn't given eternal life to them, it didn't matter. Oh no, they were nice. They were good. They went to church. They did those things. And folks, that can be you or me. We can sit in the pew. We can talk about how mom brought us to church when we were a baby. We can discuss those things. And that's a great heritage, by the way. A marvelous heritage. A wonderful thing. But understand this. Just because she brought you did not make you a child of God. This is the record. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. There's the record. Look at it. Folks, those of you that know about records, record keeping is a very big issue for many, many groups and many, many people. In the military, they have the DD-214 form. That's your life in the military. I don't know if you understand. Do you guys remember what one of the most frightful things was in the military? For them to lose your shot records. You know why, don't you? Because if they said, we don't see your shot records, you had to go get them all over again. Folks, some of you may not believe this, but you know, they, I don't know if they still do, but they used to give shots with those air gun things. And it forced the air in to that, the medicine's in through air, and it's air pressure, and it went right through the skin, right into the arm. And if you moved, you would be cut. We'd see guys walk, you'd walk through the line, they give you shots, you know, needles, and then shoot those things in your arms, and all of a sudden you see somebody bleeding or somebody passing out. You didn't want them to lose the records. Never, never. Friend, God has a record, and his record begins with the fact that Jesus Christ came to this world to die for you and me. He is the one who gives eternal life. No one else. And by the way, that is why when you hear many people talk about Jesus being a prophet or a teacher or a good man or something like that, they are denying who Jesus is and they are making God a liar. Because only through Jesus can you be saved. And Jesus Jesus is God who died for you. And that's why he can give you divine life. Without that, you have no life. And folks, when that happens, you have a record that's recorded by God. We call it the Lamb's Book of Life. The scriptures tell us about it. So you see, it doesn't matter which book you are in this world. We can keep records of you here. We can get a book and we can put your name in it and have you sign it beside of it. We can check mark you Sunday after Sunday. But folks, except you get in the Lamb's Book of Life, except you get in the record that God gives, you're not a child of God and you're lost. And you do not have eternal life. Listen again how he said that. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. A lot of people get very, very frightened when people say, well, they're not a Christian. They're not a Christian. And I understand that. We want to be very careful that we judge righteous judgment according to the scriptures. Jesus told us to judge righteous judgment. And so that's very, very important that we look up on people. See, you and I don't know what's going on inside that life. We don't know how much they really know. We don't know if they're doing everything they know or living exactly like God would have them to live. We don't understand all of that. But there's some things we do know. If they do not have the Son, they do not have life. And so the person says, you know, I respect Jesus and there's many ways to heaven. And no. See, if there's many ways to heaven, then Jesus is a liar. Because he said he was the way. And he didn't say he was one of the ways. He said he was the way. It makes it very exclusive. The message of Christ is very exclusive to a world that hates it. Why do you think there's so much opposition to the message of Jesus? If Christians would get up and say, oh, everybody gets to go to heaven. Oh, any way takes you to God. Then the world would shake our hand and they would smile at us and say, we're one of you, buddy. And you're one of us. But the moment you say that Jesus is the only way, you cause a world to stand up and oppose you, to declare that you are against them. From my reading and understanding I've done, some of the younger people in our society, the 20-somethings and so forth, supposedly they have a difficulty when you say to them, I don't agree with what you're doing. They see that as rejection of them. And I was at gun range yesterday with a number of fellas, and I honestly don't know how I get into this all the time. I just minding my own business, and there's four or five guys standing around. And one of them said something. Said, and again, I can't even tell you how it came up. He said, well, what do you think about wine? Was it alcoholic or was it not? And we began discussing, and I told them and what I thought the scriptures brought to us, and a couple of them said, no, I don't agree, and all that. And I said, well, guys, I said, we can agree on this. I'm right and you're all wrong. And they said, oh, no. And here we are. But folks, understand this. The world will not agree that Jesus is the only Savior. But the record declares that he is. And folks, if you don't have him, you don't have life. I know you breathe, you eat, you get up in the mornings, the alarm goes off, you hate it, and you get up, you get ready, you go to work, you do your thing, you take care of the kids, you go to school, you do all those things, you do life things. I understand that. I get that. But the idea of life where God is concerned is the idea of Jesus living in you. Not just knowing about Him. Not just being near Him, but Jesus being in you. If it was good enough to be near Jesus, then everyone that was at the cross when He was crucified went to heaven. Because they were closer to Him than you are. Oh yeah. They could have walked right up the cross and touched it. They could have touched His feet if they'd wanted to. A portion of His leg possibly. They could have had physical contact. All the people that walked down the street when Jesus walked down the roads, everybody that was bumping into Him, everybody that had contact with Jesus would have gone to heaven if it's just being near Jesus. But folks, that's not what He's seeking. That's not what He desires. That's not good enough. You see, Jesus must be your Savior. Something divine has to take place in your life. Something that comes from the God in heaven who made us and who sent His Son to die for us has to take place in you. And you say, how can that possibly be? Is that not what Nicodemus said? How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? And Jesus let him know He wasn't talking about a physical birth, but a spiritual birth. A birth where you look at God and you believe God and you trust God to make you brand new. It's as if that old person that you were does not exist anymore. And that a brand new person came into being. Now, I understand if you're 25, 45, or whatever it is, your neighbors will look at you and say, no, I've known you for 25 years. You know, nothing new about you. But you see, they see the external, and what you're presenting to them is the internal. God makes you new inside. And by the way, that affects the external too. Because after the inside is changed, the outside gets changed. You become different, you act different, you talk different. There's something that's taken place in your life, and you have become the man or woman that God would have you to be in your life. And that's only through the Son. And then He continues. And I pray you get this. Verse 13. These things have I written in you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know. We live in a world of people who guess. You died today, would you go to heaven? Well, I hope so. Really? Well, I guess so. All right. Is that right? Why are you hoping and guessing when you can know? Oh yeah, that's what He said. That's the record. You can know. Have you ever had something happen in your life, you know, good, bad, whatever? You head out the front door and you know, you don't open the door enough and you hit yourself in the head. Bang. Now, when you went to work, somebody said, man, what's that mark on your head? You say, well, I think I hit my head today. I might have hit my head today. I hope I didn't, but I might have. Well, folks, you know it. You know it. I mean, if you smack your head into the door, I was in Oklahoma City one time. Mid-America Bible College had just moved to Oklahoma City, and they had the first Minister's Refresher Institute. And I decided I wanted to go to it, and Ruth and I went, and the Eberts went. We met the Eberts down there, and we had motel rooms next to each other. And it was in between services or something, or that morning or whatever it was, and I was... The TV hung from the wall. And I was sitting on the bed watching it, waiting on Ruth to get ready. And that's been my life. And that's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's just the way we work things. And she came out and she said, "I'm ready." And I stood up and stepped forward. I had my head down and I walked right into the corner of that TV. It bled. It bled. It knocked me down on the bed, fell back on the bed. I was holding my head. And Ruth said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I think I hit my head." I didn't think I hit my head. I knew I hit my head. I mean, there wasn't, I think so to it. You know why, don't you? Because it took place in my life. Friend, if you come to Christ and ask Him and believe Him, then you know that you've been forgiven. You know that you've been born again. You know that you follow Him. You know that your life has been given to Him. You know that if you were to die, you get to go to heaven. You know that actually physical death is not, does not mean it's all over. It means that it just continues. You live. You know that. You know that. And the reason you know that is twofold. One, it happened in your life. Two, God promised it. And He doesn't lie. Well, that song, do you know how it feels? I was thankful for that song. Do you know how it feels? Friend, do you know how it feels? Do you know that you've been born again? Do you know it? If I were to come to you and you would give me an honest answer and I'd say, "Have you been born again?" Would you be able to say, "I know I have. I know I have"? God's got the record of it. Do you know it? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you this morning, and you see every person that's in this room. And you know what's going on in our lives. And you know what you have given. And you know those who are yours. And I pray that we know that we have been washed by the blood of Christ. And I pray that we know that if death were to come, we would be in an eternal home with you. And I pray that we know that the Savior gave us life. And I pray that we know that you have given your promise to us and it is real and true. Father, if someone here cannot say that they know, I pray that this morning would be the morning they would settle that issue. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?